Goeiemôre, good morning, and welcome here at this service. We're so excited that you're joining us wherever you are. If you're on your couch, in your bed, sitting on a chair, standing outside, you're so welcome. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Hemelse God, ons dankie vir hierdie oggend. Here, ons dankie dat ons kan gaan stilstaan by die woord vandag en net hoor hoe u met ons praat. Here, ek dankie vir u hand wat ons elke dag in ons lewe kan sien. Here, in die klein goed en die groot goed, die voeltjies wat vlei tot groot besluite in ons lewe, Here, kan ons u hand sien. Dankie dat ons u op die naam kan roep en dat ons u kinders is. Dit is so groot voorreg en so groot gedeelte van ons lewe, Here, en ons is so dankbaar daarvoor, Here. Ek kom bid dat u sal volgend met ons praat oor aanbidding en sal vir ons leer en wys wat ware aanbidding is en wat ons kan doen om u in waarheid en gees te aanbid. Ons bid dit in die grote naam. Here, in hierdie tye, wanneer ons van siek mense weet oorals om ons en dat elke dag onbepland is en kan verander in 'n oomblik, Here, besef ons in hierdie veranderende omstandighede dat u onveranderd bly. Ons prys u daarvoor in Jesus naam. Amen. Once again, welcome this morning. It's my big privilege to welcome you and to spend some time around the word with you this morning. We haven't got any major announcements apart from that there aren't any Sunday school of kinderkerk of kleuterkerk videos wat uitgaan gedurende die vakansie nie. Maar wanneer die skole weer begin, dan sal ons weer wegspring met kinderkerk en kleuterkerklesse. En dan ook, ons kantore is vanaf Vrydag toe. Ons sal weer oopmaak wanneer die skole begin. So ja, geniet die vakansietyd. Ek weet daar's baie wat gebruik maak van dat daar nie beperkings is op die reis nie en hulle gaan hou 'n bietjie vakansie en kom 'n bietjie weg. Geniet die skoolvakansie saam met jou familie en geniet hierdie tyd saam met ons vanoggend. Dis een van die voorregte wat ons het van hierdie live streaming is dat ons kan by mense uitkom al is hulle op weg op vakansie. As jy net 'n foon het, dan kan jy saam met ons die diens luister. So dis 'n wonderlike voorreg. Die laaste 2 weke was regtig 'n blessing vir my gewees om te luister na die woord wat uitgegaan het. 2 weke terug het Werries bietjie gesels oor serving in the heart of a servant. En dit was vir my wonderlik gewees om te luister net hoe dien 'n gedeelte van elkeen van ons lewens moet wees. Hoe ons moet dien sonder om op te hou en moet dien omdat Jesus gedien het. Dit was so blessing vir my om net weer te besef dat as Jesus het gedoen het, moet ons dit ook doen. En laasweek het een van ons broers, Stefan ter Blanche, hier kom bedien en wat 'n wonderlike paartjie, Stefan en Karen, ons 'n bietjie tyd saam met hulle spandeer en na die tyd en dit was net wonderlik, want hy het kom bou op die woord wat Werner gegee het, hy het bietjie gesels oor identiteit. Hy het gesê dat wanneer ons as Christene werklik besef wie ons in Christus is, sal ons lewens nooit weer dieselfde wees nie. En so, dien 'n groot deel van ons identiteit, en hierdie week wil ek net verder praat met hierdie deurlopende tema. En nog 'n gedeelte van ons identiteit waaroor ek vandag wil praat is aanbidding, worship. A part of our identity as Christians is worship. My life the last few weeks, months, has really been a journey with God and I'm really thankful to have seen his hand in my life the last while. And he's really just been talking to me one-to-one about worship. And worshiping him and knowing him. And it's really been if I could say one word about my journey the last few months, it's been a journey of awakening, of waking up and realizing who I am in Christ. And that's beautiful. It's awesome. And out of that place, I'm talking to you today. A few weeks ago, and I'm starting off today's sermon with a testimony of a friend. A few weeks ago, one of my friends, we were gathering and he spoke to us and said that he longs to have a passion for the word. And so he shared that he encountered at one of our camps, one of our men's camps, he encountered a man who had a passion for the word. You could just see that he was bubbling with a passion to read the word of Jesus. And he desired to have that same passion. He says, ek wil so graag hê wat daai ou het. Ek wil ook so liefde vir God se woord hê, want ek ervaar dit nie. En so ons het vir hom gebid. En terwyl ons vir hom gebid het, het ek net 'n prentjie gesien van 'n mat wat gewewe word. En toe ons klaar gebid het, deel ek dit met hom. En wat ek ervaar het is dat die van julle wat weet hoe om te weef of al gesien hoe te weef hulle matte, dis 'n wonderlike proses waar hulle die regte opregte persiese matte is hierdie vertikale sterk lyne wat hulle dan die fynste sy en wol vat en hulle maak knopies en hulle maak hy mat knopie vir knopie. Dit, hulle sê van hierdie matte, dit vat 2 maande om 1 meter by 1 meter te doen. Dis hoekom hulle so waardevol is. Maar die prentjie wat ek gehad het is 'n bietjie eenvoudiger en ek het groot geword met 'n ma wat baie moeite gedoen het en ek wil net vir julle wys die prentjie wat ek gesien het, want dis wat ek weet van weef af. My ma het vir ons, die seuns en die dogters, bietjie gewys van naaldwerk en weef en hier's die presiese loom, soos ons in Engels sê, waarop ek geweef het toe ek klein was. En dis hoe hy gewerk het, jy het hierdie vertikale strepe gehad, wat lekker sterk twine was of iets, wat die fondasie geskep het. En dan het jy met jou kleer gekom en begin horisontaal weef. En ek het hierdie prentjie gesien van so weefpatroon. En ek deel dit toe met hom en ek ervaar dat God wil hê ons moet, hierdie is ons lewe, die vertikale strepe hier, God wil hê ons lewe en ons aanbidding en ons tyd in die woord, wat die kleer is, die horisontale strepe, moet apart wees nie. Hy wil kom en hy wil tyd in die woord, aanbidding, gebed, in ons lewe inweef. Hy wil dit so deel maak van ons lewe, dat jy nie skaal kan onderskei wanneer is die persoon nou besig om te aanbid en wanneer nie. Dat dit so deel is van hulle lewe, dat dit begin 'n prentjie vorm. En ek deel dit toe met hierdie vriend van my, hierdie prent, en ek ervaar net, ek sê vir hom, ek dink God wil kom en hy wil jou tyd in die woord, wil hy in jou lewe inweef. Dit moet nie net 'n oomblik wees wat jy gaan sit en, okay, ek gaan nou 10 minute in die woord spandeer, 1/2 uur in die woord, uur. Dis wonderlik, dis great, ons moet daai tye een kant sit vir aanbidding en vir tyd in die woord, maar ons moet dit nie sien as hierdie aparte tyd, hierdie aparte aspek van ons lewe nie. Ek het net ervaar dat hy wil kom en dit inweef in wie ons is, in ons dag, deurlopend, selfs in ons slaap. Maar soos wat die Here werk, deel ek hierdie prentjie met hierdie vriend van my. En hy sê net, ja, dis great. En hier begin God met my werk oor daai prentjie. En hy begin vir my goed wys en goed bysit en daai prentjie verder vat in my lewe. En as ons kyk na weef en daai weefpatroon en die gebed en die woord wat hy wil inweef in ons lewe, dan wil ek gou iets sê. Daai vertikale strepe is ons lewe. Dis ons as mens. En wanneer ons na God toe draai en God aanneem as ons God en ons redder, dan begin ons leer van goed soos gebed en tyd in die woord en aanbidding, waaroor ek vandag praat, worship. En God begin hierdie wonderlike proses, hy sit sy gees in ons en hy begin hierdie goed in ons lewe inweef. En wat gebeur? Hierdie boring vertikale strepe begin kleur kry. Daar begin 'n prentjie vorm, iets begin gebeur, daar begin 'n ontwerp gebeur. En ek het vanoggend hierdie mat saamgebring, want ek kan nie so mooi weef nie. Ek het daai eenvoudige prentjie gehad van daai loom. I had that picture of the loom that I grew up with. But this is much more intricate. And this is a genuine silk-based Persian rug. It's beautiful. I wish, jy kan nie die detail op die kamera sien nie, en as jy nie naby aan staan nie, maar die detail en prentjie is ongelooflik. Hierdie prentjie se naam is eintlik the Garden of Eden. Dis die mooiste prent en detail en die fynste werk. En as jy hom in die son hou, dan sien jy hoe die sy so bietjie blink. En dis wat God kom doen met aanbidding en met gebed en met woord. Hy begin ons ontwerp voltooi, waarvoor ons uniek gemaak en ontwerp is. Hy begin kleur in ons lewe inbring. Hy begin sin maak van ons lewe met aanbidding. 'n Prentjie begin vorm. En ek gaan hierdie net hier los, sodat julle daarna kan kyk so tussendeur. And that's what God does, is he starts bringing color into our life and starts bringing out his design, his purpose for creation for us. And today I want to introduce the theme, and I'm going to bring up the first picture. This is the theme for today. You maybe heard it in the message. I'm talking about weave worship, weef aanbidding. Weaving worship, weave worship, weef aanbidding. En daar is 'n mooi prent van 'n vrou wat besig is om 'n persiese mat te weef. Fynste werk, regte kuns. En ek ervaar net die afgelope ruk met die tye waarin ons is, die tye wat ons deurgaan, dit wat in die wêreld aan die gang is, tye wat ons nie ken nie, ons het dit nog nooit gesien nie, nog nooit so ervaar nie. Ervaar ek hierdie gewig en hierdie ernstige gevoel in my hart en in my gees, dat God is besig om te roep na ware aanbidding, en hy is besig om ware aanbidders aan te roep en aan te trek na hom toe. God is calling true worshippers and true worship to arise in these times. More than ever, we have always needed to worship God and to understand what it is to really worship him. But now more than ever, there's a call for true worship to arise. And that's what I'm talking about today. So ek wil sê, as jy hier sit vandag en jy sukkel met jou aanbidding, jy sukkel met die woord, jy sukkel met gebed, jy ervaar dis swaar, dis 'n dooie gevoel, daar is die lewe in my aanbiddingslewe nie. Onthou, aanbidding is meer as musiek. Dis meer as net om te sit en saam met 'n klomp ouens op 'n stage sing. Aanbidding is deel van wie ons moet wees. And if you experiencing a deadness and no life and no joy and no color in your worship life, then this sermon today is for you. And I want to start talking about two examples in the Bible as we turn together to John chapter 4, Johannes hoofstuk 4. En dis die verhaal van die Samaritaanse vrou. Kom ons lees saam. Ek lees Johannes 4 vers 21 tot 24. Nou net so voor ek begin lees, wil ek graag ietsie sê vir agtergrond. En Jesus het uit sy pad uit gegaan. Baie van julle ken die verhaal, maar is hierdie stuk wat ek wil uitlig. Maar Jesus gaan uit sy pad uit. Hy gaan na die put toe. Die disippels gaan kry kos in die dorp en hy is alleen by hierdie put. Hy gaan deur 'n gedeelte van die land wat hulle gewoonlik vermy, want dis die Samaritane en die Jode en die Samaritane meng nie, maar Jesus het geweet, hy moet daar wees om 'n spesifieke persoon te sien. En hierdie vrou kom aangeloop en sy het die toerusting om water uit die put uit te kry. Jesus het niks by hom nie en hy vra haar vir water en hulle begin gesels en Jesus vertel haar iets van haarself wat nie geen vreemdeling kon weet nie en sy besef, aha, hy's 'n profeet. En 'n interessante ding is, sy besef hy's 'n profeet en sy begin praat oor iets. Sy begin hom bietjie toets, sy begin bietjie vra wat is sy opinie? Want dit is klaar vreemd dat 'n man met 'n vrou praat. Dit is klaar vreemd dat 'n Jood met 'n Samaritaan praat. Dis 'n vreemde situasie. En dan sit nog 'n profeet. So wat sê hierdie profeet van wat ek dink? En ek lees in Johannes 4 vers 21 tot 24. Jesus said to her, en net voor dit is dit in vers 20, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Sy toets hom met hierdie ding. En hy sê die volgende, vers 21. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. En sy vra hierdie kontroversiële vraag vir Jesus. Maar ons glo jy kan aanbid op hierdie berg. En julle Jode sê ons kan net in die tempel in Jerusalem bid. En dis juist die plek waar die Samaritane nie mag gaan nie. So hulle het hierdie kompleks ontwikkel van, jy weet, die Jode sê ons mag nie daar aanbid nie, ons is minderwaardig en baie van die stryd tussen hierdie twee groepe mense was oor waar hulle aanbid het en wat hulle geglo het waar hulle mag aanbid. En Jesus kom en hy breek daai ding en hy sê, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. En dit begin toe die Nuwe Testament se manier van aanbidding. True worship is in spirit and in truth. Ons kan God aanbid in gees en waarheid. Dis hoe hy moet aanbid word. Dit gaan nie meer oor 'n plek nie. Ek ervaar ons as Christene moet dit hoor. Al is ons kerk byeenkomste gestop fisies. Gaan dit nie oor 'n kerkgebou nie. Dit gaan nie oor 'n plek nie. Dit gaan nie oor daai spesifieke tafel waar jy gaan sit in jou huis waar jy gaan stilte tyd hou nie. Dis wonderlik en dis waar daar nie baie afleiding is nie. Maar dit gaan oor om God in gees en in waarheid te aanbid. Dis nie meer 'n plek nie. En ek dank hom daarvoor. Ek dank die Here dis nie meer 'n plek nie, want dink hoe ver ons moes gaan om Jerusalem toe te gaan om die Here te aanbid. Ons kan hom aanbid in ons dag, soos wat ons wandel, by die werk, in ons familietyd, in ons stilte. Waar ook al ons gaan, kan ons hom aanbid. En ek wil eers praat oor die gees gedeelte, om God in gees te aanbid. Spirit means God is spirit and he can only be worshipped in spirit. Fisiese dade is nie waar dit gaan nie, dit gaan oor die gees. En 'n interessante feit is die woord wat Jesus gebruik, daar's baie woorde vir worship in die Bybel. Ek weet nie hoeveel daar is nie, ek weet net daar's meer as 5. So, een van hulle, en die een wat die meeste gebruik word, en die een wat hy hier gebruik, is die woord, die Griekse woord, proskuneo. Ja, en hoor die betekenis van hierdie woord. Jesus gebruik die woord proskuneo, oor en oor in hierdie stuk. Worship, 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 worship. Aanbidding. En hierdie woord proskuneo beteken om plat te gaan lê voor iemand. Maar nog dieper, en dit, ek het dit nie geweet nie, is to kiss the ground, to kiss the hand, to move towards. Dis 'n klomp betekenisse in een woord, so ryk is hierdie woord. To kiss the hand of someone, to kiss the ground in front of someone, but even more importantly, to move towards a kiss. Daai intimiteit van daai oomblik wanneer jy nader beweeg om iets te soen. That's what this word worship means. Isn't it beautiful? That's the worship that Jesus is talking about to God. It's an intimacy. It's, I am humbled, I bow down, I kiss the hand, I kiss the ground of the one that I love. That's deep. That's intimate. To worship God in spirit. And the second part that he says is to worship God in truth. Om die Here in waarheid te aanbid. En dit is eenvoudig, ons moet weet wie ons aanbid. We have to know the object of our worship. Do we know who we are worshiping? Because if we knew him, we would know what he wants. We would know how we'd want to be worshipped. We see in the Old Testament, that's why we see from Cain and Abel, the very first example, to the Israelites and the prophets, they had to sacrifice something to God as their worship and as their atonement for their sins. En dit is hoe kom ons sien in die Ou Testament, die Israeliete sou kom en hulle sou 'n offer bring. Presies, die ritueel is uitgelê, hoe hulle dit moet doen, hulle doen dit reg en God sou sê, ek is tevrede. Ek is gelukkig met jou offer, met jou aanbidding aan my. En dan lees ons weer later, hulle kom met daai selle ritueel, daai selle kalf, hulle doen presies dieselfde ding. Hulle was baie streng geweest. En God sou sê, hierdie stink, dit vat dit weg van my af. Ek wil niks te doen hê met jou offer en jou aanbidding nie. En wat sê dit vir jou? God wil in waarheid aanbid word. Hy wil aanbid word op die manier wat hy wil hê. Hy het 'n manier. En dit gaan vir hom oor die hart. Agter die daad. Ek dink in moderne tye, ons het dade wat ons doen om hom te aanbid. We use music, we spend time in silence, we listen to things, we have our way, we have our rituals. But for God, it's about our heart when we're doing these things. And he has a way that he wants us to worship him. We need to find out who this God is that we are serving and worshiping, to know him, to be able to worship him. And so don't you see the picture coming together, spirit and in truth. He wants us to connect with him intimately, spiritually, know him, know what he wants, and to do what he wants. That's worship. That's worship. Is to know God and to do what he wants, and to worship him the way he wants to be worshipped. Praise the Lord. I move on to a little bit earlier in the book of John. So if you're in the book of John, just go two chapters back to chapter 2. Hoofstuk 2. En hier is die stuk, ons sien hom in die ander boeke, die ander gedeeltes van die Nuwe Testament ook, we see it in the other Gospels. And this is the story of Jesus, the time that he cleansed the temple, die dag wat hy die tafels omgekeer het en die tempel gereinig het. En ja, as al skrif is, ek dink wat mense uit context uitvat, is het hierdie ene. Mense gebruik hierdie skrif vir die snaakste goed. Ja, jy mag kwaad wees, Jesus was kwaad geweest. Ja, nee, dis reg, ek kan kwaad wees, want Jesus was daai dag kwaad geweest, man, hy het ook kwaad geraak. Ander mense sal weer sê, nee, maar daai stuk, ja, jy moet die tafels omgooi, jy moet dinge opskit en verander en there's partial truth to it, but if we really look what is going on here, we can learn some amazing things about what Jesus did in the temple. John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, Johannes 2, vers 15 tot 17. Ek graag net lees. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Yes, I get excited when I read this. We can learn a few things from this story about Jesus and his heart. Now, what Jesus did, yeah, it says in my Bible, the little, in the New King James, the title for this piece is Jesus cleanses the temple. Some Bibles say when Jesus turned over the tables, and Jesus, there's a whole lot of different titles, but what Jesus really did was he went into the temple, which was supposed to be his father's house. That was the reason for the temple, as it was a house of worship and a house of prayer, where you could go and worship and pray to God. That was the idea of the temple. And he went in here and he experienced something. And I want to show just four things that we can learn, four points that we can learn out of this piece about Jesus and what he did in the temple. The first thing that Jesus had, and the four things that I'm talking about is four things Jesus needed to cleanse the temple. Jesus needed to have four things in place to do what he did that day. And the first one is, he had discernment. In brackets, the eyes and ears of heaven. Now catch this. Jesus walks into the temple, and what's one of the first things he does is he discerns that what's going on in this temple is not right. It is not what God wants. He discerns it. His spirit discerns it. He has the eyes and ears of heaven. Jesus saw in that temple what others didn't see. The people in the temple were carrying on like normal, carrying on with their rituals, carrying on with the way they were doing things. They just were carrying on like always with their tradition. Oh, what a great evil tradition is. Lord, protect us from that. Jesus saw what heaven wanted him to see. He had discernment for what was going on there. The second thing that Jesus needed to cleanse the temple that day was he was consumed with zeal for his father's house. In the other Gospels we read, Jesus says, my father's house, do you not know my father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer? And only in John does it say when the disciples saw Jesus do this, they were reminded of a scripture back in Isaiah, the book of the prophet. And they were reminded of that piece that said, I am consumed, I am eaten up with zeal for the house of my father. When they saw Jesus doing this, they weren't reminded of anything else that they talk about. They remembered that scripture in Isaiah talking about consumed with zeal for the house of his Father. Zeal. What is zeal? In Afrikaans is zeal is die woord ywer. Ywer. Jesus het ywer gehad vir die huis van sy Vader. Hy was opgevreed, is die woord wat het Engels sê. Hy was oorval met dit. Hy was vol van dit. Met ywer vir die huis van sy Vader. Zeal is that passion, that burning, that desire for something. Now I want to make a statement that I read a while ago, and this is so true. When somebody gets zealous, people get nervous. When someone starts getting zealous, people start getting nervous. When Jesus got zealous that day, oh, there were a lot of nervous people in the temple. Zeal makes people uncomfortable. But zeal is what God wants. Let me say something to you today. If you are not zealous for God, if you are not zealous for His word, zealous for His house, zealous for His dreams and plans, you will be zealous for something else. That's how we are as humans. We want to be zealous for something. If you are not consumed with zeal for God, you will be zealous for something else. We see it. I'm not knocking the great sports stars. I'm not knocking the great rock stars. I'm not knocking people. But we can see that we as people want to direct our zeal and passion towards something. We all have encountered zealous people. But if you do not burn with zeal for God and His house, you will burn with zeal for something else. And Jesus burnt with zeal that day for His Father's house. And He needed that to cleanse the temple. The third thing Jesus needed to cleanse the temple that day, He was loyal to God's heart and design for His house. He was loyal. Remember, He discerned what was going on was wrong. He had zeal that drove Him. And thirdly, He was loyal to His Father's heart and design for the temple, for the house. God has I spoke earlier about it, He has a plan for the way we need to worship Him. He has a way He wants to be worshipped. He has a way the church must look. Hear me now, people. In these times, He has a way the church must look. God wants the church to do something specific, look a specific way, and reach specific people. And we need to know what that design is. And we need to be loyal to it. Because there will be many false prophets. There will be many who will try to distract us from the design God has for His house. And I'm not just talking the house, the collective gathering of people. In John chapter 4, we read that Jesus is saying, we are the temple. No longer is it a place. We are the temple. Ons is die huis van die Here. Ons lichaam. Ons gees is die huis van God. As ons kyk dat hy weef patroon, hy vertikale strepe, dit is die plek waar ons God aanbid, ons lewe. So Jesus was loyal to God's heart and design for His house. God's design for the temple, for the house of, and now not just the building anymore, us. His design for us is that we will be a house of prayer and a house of worship. And Jesus was loyal to that. And when He came into the temple, He saw this place is not a house of worship and prayer. And I want to be loyal to that picture. So He started changing what He saw in front of Him. Then He started overturning the tables. Then He started bringing change. Jesus cleansed the temple that day. I want to say He reformed the temple that day. Many great church movements in the modern age were started with a reformation. The people said, we cannot carry on the way we were carrying on. This isn't God's heart for His children. It seems like the church is in constant need of reformation because we are constantly making it our own design and making it our own house, our own way of doing things, our own traditions. And God says, change it. Jesus cleansed and reformed the temple that day. And the fourth and final point, as I start moving towards an end, Jesus needed this to cleanse the temple. He did not hesitate to cleanse the temple. He did not hesitate. Jesus took only enough time to braid a whip. Then he started cleaning. That's the only time he took was just to braid a whip. Look what is going on. And he started cleaning the temple. He didn't hesitate. He didn't do it halfway. It says, yeah, he drove all of them out of the temple. One man drove them all out. Jesus didn't hesitate for a moment to clean the temple. When he saw, he discerned what was going on wasn't right. Zeal consumed him. And he was loyal to the design. He didn't hesitate. And he cleansed the temple that day. I want to ask you this morning, why are you hesitating? What is stopping you from cleansing the temple of God? What is stopping you from making your house a house of worship to our Father? What is the thing? What are the things that you are hesitating to do? Because Jesus didn't. Now, this is where we misunderstand the scripture sometimes. I want to say to you, before you want to turn over the tables in your local church, before you want to turn over the tables in another person's life and temple, take the log, the plank out of your own eye before you want to take the splinter out of your own brother's eye. Start with yourself. What is that log in your eye? What is that dirty corner of your temple? What is that money table in your temple today? Cleanse your temple. Even the corners. Get into those corners and clean them. Make your house a house of worship and prayer. Make your house a house of worship and prayer again to God. And how will you do this, you ask me? Look at what Jesus did. As I start ending off today, and I thank you for joining in and just being with us today. And it's a short and powerful word, but God has been working this through with me and is still working this through with me in my inner chambers of my heart. Wherever you're sitting or standing or lying down right now, if you have a desire to worship God in spirit and in truth, if you desire true worship to stand up in your life again, if you desire to have color like that carpet start coming into your life again, your design that you were designed for, your creational purpose to stand up, I want to pray with you today. And I want you to look at these 4 points and what Jesus did and ask God to help you with this process of cleaning your temple. We need to pray through these 4 points. How to cleanse our temple, refine our worship, prayer and hunger for the word. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I come and pray for each one of us listening today. Father, I pray that you will give us, as your children, we ask this of you, that you will give us discernment. You'll give us the eyes, ears, and senses of heaven to know what's going on around us and in us. To discern that what's in our lives is wrong. To discern that what's going on around us is wrong. Father God, I pray that you will give us zeal for your house. Give us zeal for what you want to do in us. Lord, that zeal will not be something that exposes us and makes us weak, Father God. Your word says zeal is like a cloak that comes around and protects us. Lord, I pray that we will start burning with zeal for you and your house. And then, Lord, I ask that you will awaken a loyalty in us to you, to your design and your plan for your house, for us. Lord, that we will be loyal to the call that you have placed on each of our lives, Lord. You call us out of the darkness and into the light, and that we will remain true to your calling and loyal. And finally, Father, I ask that when we have to cleanse the temple, that we will not hesitate, that we will not be double-minded, that we will cleanse and make your house a house that will worship you. I pray this for every individual, each of us, because we are each a temple of you. But I also pray this, Father God, for your larger family, the family of believers across earth. Lord, that we will make our houses of prayer and worship, houses of prayer and worship and nothing else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for joining in this morning. Yeah, may God awaken true worship in you and me. It will not be easy, but as it starts happening, the weaving will start happening and color will start coming into your life, into our lives. God's design will start appearing. It's amazing to watch those people weave those Persian rugs. As they carry on, you start seeing, oh, something's happening here. The smaller designs are becoming part of a bigger design. And there's a complete picture starting to happen. May you be blessed. Have a wonderful day or evening, whatever time of day you're going through right now. Thank you for joining in. See you next week.